The Afternoons with Joy podcast is presented by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Welcome to a new episode of the Afternoons with Joy podcast. I have a very special guest today that no doubt you're going to fall in love with, just like I have. John Reddick is an artist that we play on Way FM, and you're probably familiar with his hit song, God Turn It Around. All of my God, turn it around. John is going to share the story behind the song with us, and it's not what you expect. It's actually from a season of his life that God did turn a relationship around, and it's a prayer that he's praying over you. We talk about how God uses our pain and can sometimes turn it into something really beautiful. We also talk about getting back to church after the pandemic and why community is so important. And the end of the podcast, he shares what he hopes you take away from his song when you hear it or when you sing it in church. So here's my conversation with John Reddick. I'm here today with John Reddick, and you know him from his song, God Turn It Around. I am loving this song. I'm sure people say that to you all the time. Can you please tell us the story behind it? Because I was surprised to find out that it came out of a conversation with your dad. Yeah. And I would almost imagine that it came out of something really terrible because you're asking God to do something. But it sounds like it came out of an answered prayer.
My dad and I are real different. I mean, we talk about Enneagram, so I'm a 4 on the Enneagram. He's a 5, which they're next to each other in Enneagram, but they're totally different worlds.
Sometimes I think like 5s can't even understand emotion at all, and that sounds like that's your sweet spot.
Right, right. And so you know that then as a kid, kids can be emotional, and so if a parent doesn't understand those emotions, it just makes for a long time of y'all not understanding for each other.
So
we actually, we were talking on the phone one day, and because we don't talk that much, it's like 2 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, it's like, hey, how you doing? Oh, okay, good. Talk to you later.
Good. My dad went through a phase where he wouldn't even say any kind of closing. He would just hang up, and then I'd be like, Dad?
Okay.
I'd be like, oh. I mean, he loves me so much,
so
but
sorry.
He's efficient. He's efficient,
wow.
And that's how they can be sometimes.
Wow.
Like, you're good, I'm good. Click.
So anyway, long story short, we ended up talking about a lot of things that we had gone through in life. And so I was sharing some hard things that I had faced in life that he never knew. And as a dad, it probably heartbroken a dad. And he was sharing things with me that I was just like, wow, I never knew that happened to you. And so being a 4, obviously, I was like, man, heartbroken. And so I just remember that towards the end of that conversation, I just had tears in my eyes. But there were tears of joy. I was like, I can't believe that we just had this moment that feels very healing to me, you know? And so I remember hanging up the phone, and I just looked up at my ceiling. I was like, God, you really do turn things around. And I went to a lot of ways that I process is just to sit at the piano and just
play.
That's
your gifting.
I didn't sit down to write a song, which was very interesting. I was just playing the piano for, 2-3 hours straight. And and from that time, I just remember just singing over and over again, God, turn it around. And I remember having this desire, though, in my heart. I was like, God, I'm so grateful for what you've just done for my dad and I, that I just, for anybody who's praying that prayer, I would just love for you to meet them. And so it ended up being a prayer that meshed into a song. I was like, God, I'm praying you come and turn this thing around for people. And so
And
I called up a friend of mine because I was like, I pressed record. If I'm playing the piano, I'll just press record anyway. But at some point I pressed record because I was like, wait, I need to record this.
Started singing it.
Yeah.
It just came out of you.
Yeah. And I told my friends, I was like, man, I don't know what this is, but it may be something. So something I came up with, and we just wrote and just started singing at church. So yeah.
Well, I think there's something really powerful when a song is a prayer, because with what I get to do on the radio, sometimes when I'm going into your song, which I have the pleasure of doing, I get to talk right into what you've created. I encourage people that if they haven't talked to God in a while, or if they're in pain and they don't know what to say, I mean, we know the Holy Spirit can read our hearts and our minds, but I encourage them to either sing along and let it be their prayer, or to just let you pray over them. And I think that's something that this song gets to do because it was a prayer.
Yeah.
And can you tell me what that's been like, getting to pray this over people all over the country and the world when it was just something that happened at your piano?
It's a a very humbling, like, if you can think of something that you're really extremely grateful for, just imagine walking into a room and you are like, I don't know how I got here. I'm just thankful that I got here.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like every time somebody comes up to me, and I was at an event and a guy comes up to me and he just, hey, how you doing? And just all of a sudden, he's a strong guy. You know, he has his stature about him. And you don't expect the next thing to happen, which was tears just to start running down his face. And he's saying, my brother-in-law almost died twice. And we were playing that song over and over again in the hospital room. And you realize, wow, for God to allow you to take one small step into somebody's world and realize how detrimental life was for them. And no matter the story, it's a real humbling experience. And I'm grateful to get to be able to be in those moments. Yeah.
Yeah, your voice is invited in. And I'm just curious, since your story was not even, the song has become bigger than a story about you and your dad. Mm. Like, how do you feel about people using this as their anthem when the world got crazy after you made that song? Yeah. So you didn't anticipate it. Right. So when I first heard it, I thought, oh, this is because COVID and inflation and the turmoil and the tension. And I thought you wrote it from that perspective, but you wrote it before it sounds like any of that happened. So how do you feel about your song now kind of being an anthem for people in this season where we don't really know which way's up?
I was talking to my sister about this the other night. She was saying the same thing. She was like, man, and obviously we grew up together, so she knew how hard life is. We both know how hard life has been for each other in the past. And I was just like, man, you know, you go for a long time wondering why life is so hard. And then something like that happens and you realize God's been orchestrating things the entire time. Mm-hmm. And whether I went through those things for the moments that are happening now for others, or I don't know what all God was doing, but you see value in the pain of life. Like, somebody says joy and pain kind of walk together in some kind of way, you know, because you can't experience real joy without experiencing deep sides of pain sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that has been, it makes me think about my story and why I've gone through the things that I've gone through. And it makes me just love God more.
Yeah, because you're just a worship leader and a dad and a normal guy. And God is using your song as an anthem in a season that you could have never known. And I think that's proof that God is in what we're doing. And that's an encouragement even to me and whoever's watching. They don't make music, but God's going to weave something good through even the pain of your life, because you would have never wanted to go through, I'm sure, some of the tough stuff. But but it's worth it to be used by God.
It is.
Yeah.
It's worth it. What's that scripture that says, and we walked away being excited that we were used by God, or that we were persecuted by God?
I don't want to use that word. We don't want it that bad, John.
I know. I was like, I don't want it that bad either.
Please, no, Jesus. Just taking a quick second to interrupt this podcast to tell you about our amazing sponsor, United Faith Mortgage. Think for a second about what you could do with a little more money every single month. Things are so expensive right now that I've been going to Costco and buying my son's diapers in bulk. I'm trying to find the right gas stations to go to save a few cents every single gallon. We're being smart in every area of our lives financially, but maybe not with your mortgage. This could be a great time for you to refinance and just find out what your monthly payment could be with United Faith Mortgage. In fact, my husband and I looked into it in 2020, decided it wasn't the right time for us financially, and then went through with it in 2021, and United Faith Mortgage gave us a great experience because they have this direct lender advantage, which means there's no middleman, and that can often save you monthly and lifelong money. More money every single month could help your family this summer. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Just find out what United Faith Mortgage could do for you by going to UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA United Mortgage Corp. 25 Middle Park Road, Midland, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around.
So I know something we have in common is that we're both pastor's kids. And right before we started this interview, we were talking about, like, our siblings and how it affects us. And so I'm curious for you, you're in ministry still. So am I. I think we're like the random ones that ended up in ministry like our parents, because we see the good, the bad, and the ugly of church and full-time ministry. And so how did it affect you? And are you surprised that you're in full-time ministry?
I am. So as a teenager, I rebelled. I did all my rebellion.
You did?
Yeah, I was like, man.
I get it.
I was a mess.
My rebellion's
probably
still coming.
Oh, well, I here's something I wonder. I wonder if you get it out as a teenager, then your adult years, because people who, you know, I don't know, it could be that people who get it out in their adult years, I mean, their teenage years are better, they've gotten it out.
That's encouraging to anyone who has a crazy teen right now.
Yeah,
they're
for
getting
real.
It out of their system.
Like, yeah, sometimes you get it out of your system. I was just like, God, please don't give me the kind of child that I was. So I was like,
oh,
please.
Snap.
But my kids are, I mean, I'm blessed. So, but yeah, it was, I spent some of my teenage years like trying to find, because I was an angry teen, you know, some things that happened and I was upset with God and life and everything. But at some point I just stopped running. I had to stop running. So but I tried to do other things like architecture and computer science.
Whoa.
And yeah, I was trying to do something. I was like, God, I quit. Actually, the last time I decided to quit music, I say he one-upped me, because I just told God 2 weeks prior to this, I was like, okay, God, I'm not doing music anymore. It was maybe 8 years ago. And somebody came up to me and she said, hey, I was over there. I just led devotion at my kid's school. And she came up to me and she said, hey, God just told me while you're singing, plain as day, that I'm supposed to help you. And I was like, what? And she was like, I'm just saying, I was sitting over there and God told me he's supposed to help you. It was Sheryl Crow. And so I was like, and in my mind, I was like, God, I know that's Sheryl Crow, but I told you I quit.
You were like, I see the sign. I would like to ignore it. That's amazing.
But that was just a time where I would go over there and she just let me work in her studio, like with, her engineer would set it up for me, and I spent a lot of time in there, though. The biggest thing, not just making music, but really realizing the purpose, how important your purpose is in life. Hmm. Like, you can run from it, but if God called you to do something, you're just supposed to do it. And that was maybe 8 years ago. You know, I think I said that. But 8 years ago, I would have never been doing any of this. I would have been somewhere trying to figure out how to write some code to the next thing. If blank be blank, then blank, blank.
And you wouldn't be happy there.
No,
like,
I wouldn't
that's
be happy.
The thing.
Would not be happy.
When you're walking in the calling God has for you, it doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean you're always happy. But it means that God's going to use it. Like, if you'd quit 8 years ago, we would not have this song. We would not have the music you're making now. And you work at a church. I mean, you're one of the girls on our digital team. You're her worship pastor. I was like, that's not fair. You get to hear him every week. That's amazing. So you get to see the impact of corporate worship. And I'm a pastor's wife. And I know that so many people stopped going to church when the pandemic hit for good reason. But then when church is kicked back up, I know a lot of people in my life are like, do I need church? You know, I'm out of the habit, and they just haven't gone back. And so can you talk to us about when you're up on the stage, what is the impact that you see and maybe the reason to give it another try?
You know, I think, man, that's a good question. I think one of the things I see, I've seen several things. Some I've seen where people have just missed being around people, and I see people coming back. And I've seen some who have decided that things were so hard, they've realized that they need to give their lives to God. I've seen some who are struggling right now. You know, we're in a county where people took their lives because things were so hard. And I think
finances got out of control and they didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Some of what that tells me is that we may go to church, we may do all the things that other people do, but we are looking for something. Whether we realize that we're looking for God or not, we are looking for something. And what I would say is, at the end of the day, you don't know how you got here. So there has to be someone who's higher than us. And you don't know how things will end. So there has to be someone who's higher than us. And there will be a time where we realize that we need someone. We need our God. We need Jesus, who came to give his life for our sins. We have to rely on something that's bigger than us. And I choose to believe that it's God. I choose to believe that Jesus came. I remember I got a chance to go to Israel, and
a dream bucket list.
I didn't even say it with enough, like, it just wrote. But I remember this specific moment. We are on the Sea of Galilee, and I hadn't seen the sea yet. We were riding up to our hotel or the place we were staying, but it was on top of this mountain. And everybody said, hey, the sea is over that way. So I started walking over. And as soon as I saw the sea, I lost the ability to say anything. It just took me over. And I was like, if I never believed that Jesus walked the earth before, there is something very deep about this place. And I just wept. And I looked around and other people are just weeping because it's like, man, you know that the power of God was in this place.
Yes.
You know that Jesus has been going around to the different cities that are around this one. And you're like, this is the place I've been reading about
this
the entire
the sea
time.
That was crazy. And he was sea. Like, enough.
Right.
I can't even imagine.
It's so phenomenal. So yeah, those kind of moments, though, I do believe that God brings those moments to us at some point in our lives. You know, some people have them at 77. You know, some people have them at 10 years old. And my prayer is just that God is bringing them and that we're being used the way he wants us to be used so we can go to people in those moments.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And to know that it's going to look different for everybody.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
One way to encounter God, if you have not, is to show up at church and to worship. I mean, that's what you get to do every week. And that's what you allow us to do through your song. So as we close, what do you hope that someone takes away when they listen to it? What's your desire when someone hears it on the radio, in their car? What do you want to leave them with?
My desire is that through great times or through times of despair, times of depression, times where it's like where you do feel like you're at the very end, or when you feel like you're scratching rock bottom, like it's just that close. There is one who loves us, what does he say, closer than a brother. Like, there is one who has seen the entire situation of life that we've gone through, and he's right there, and he's waiting on us, and he's there for us, and he will bring us through it. Like, that is my true belief. There is something on the other side of the things that we face, and it's God.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, now we're going to listen to the song with a whole nother mindset and probably cry in a good way. Thank you so much for your time, John.
Oh, thank you so much, Joy. It's been an honor being here.
He's such a delight. I told you he would be. I so wish that he could be our worship leader at church every single Sunday. If you want to see this conversation with John Reddick, we also are rolling video. You can text the word John, J-O-N, to 91979. You could also share this conversation with a friend or someone that you are praying that God will turn something around in their life. Thanks for joining me this week.